Everybody, it's great to be with you, and we had a good time Saturday morning there with the guys, and messed up, forgot to hit the record button on Saturday, so we didn't get any recording of it, so if you weren't there, you didn't get it. If you were there, you'll have to go back to the Holy Ghost to find out what God said to you. I will be blogging on Saturday's subject on Wednesday. I'm going to just address that subject to my 10 for Leaders group, so if you want to catch a written copy, I think the Holy Spirit will guide me. But I'm very aware of the presence of God this morning, and I'm not here to preach, I'm not even here to teach, I'm here to experience God with you. And so first I want to speak beyond the room. Every one of you are precious, and every one of you has a world that you live in. And in our Father's house there are many rooms, so I'm not speaking to this church building, I'm not speaking to us. For the sake of Sunday, I'm speaking to us for the sake of our 7-day, 24-hour-a-day reality. Yeah. Every one of us were born for such a time as this, or a supernatural testimony of life. So I just speak to that right now. I just want to pray. Father, I come to you right now. I come to you on behalf of these in this room. Even just us in this room represent others in our lives. We work with people. We live with people. We have homes. We have influence. Our footprints, our feet walk through this city. Our feet walk in this world. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for our worlds right now. And I'm inviting you. You're a supernatural Papa. Holy Spirit, you're a supernatural spirit. Jesus, you're the supernatural name that's above all other names. And I'm asking for an impartation today. I'm very much reminded of the testimonies of your goodness. We prayed for supernatural things to happen this morning. And we are believing for supernatural things because we have you. It was even said in the old covenant of the nation of Israel, what great nation is there that has a God so near to them that when they call on you or for whatever reason they call on you, you're there. That was true even in a day when people could get to heaven, but they really couldn't get heaven into the earth. I fully believe that Jesus, you're the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world were laid. The love, the mercy of you, Father God, was enough to open the doors of life beyond this world, but you've always desired more than that. You've desired for heaven to fill this place. And you gave a promise. You said that this earth, and so I'm saying this earth, me, I'm saying this earth, everyone in this room, is to be filled with the glory of God. That the evidence of last and eternal Adam will outweigh the evidence of first and temporary dust Adam. And so we just call that testimony today. I ask that Holy Spirit, as you speak, as you breathe today, that you touch us in our hearts, yeah. And that what happens in this place right now, on this little room on a Sunday morning, would impact us, activate us for tonight, tomorrow, and every day of this week. We are not limited. Each of us have footprints, footsteps that are set before us. We're going to walk through this city. Let us be life givers. Let us be supernatural people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm talking today about supernatural people with supernatural expectations, which is a pretty tough order to call for in a world of natural realities. Yeah. So the environment of our day, man, is not any worse than the environment of Jesus' day. When Jesus came, he came as a son of man. He was the son of God, which is the reality of being sons of men. You can't be human without the substance of man in humus. And the substance of man is the likeness and image of our Heavenly Father. It's not just his character, it's his nature, his way, but also his power and his authority. We have a Father who's a creator. We don't have a created Father. We have a Father who's a creator. We have a Father who does his best work in formless, void, and dark places. He's not shaken. He's not moved when it's formless, because he gives form. He's not shaken. He's not moved when it's void, because he fills things up to overflowing. He's not shaken. He's not moved when it's dark, because when he walks into the room, it becomes light. That's who he is. That's our Father. Would you help us get that revelation? That's who you are. He's a miracle worker. We even sang today that, you know, that Satan falls like lightning. Demons are subject to him. Signs and wonders happen. But, wow, the greatest thing is our names are written in life, in heaven, recorded in heaven, written in the book of life. I believe that that's the Father's will, that we're in the book of life. And we need to connect to him to see the fullness of that in reality. And so we're here. I know everybody in this room, and we're all connected to him. And so I'm calling that our connection with him will affect our world today. In the day that Jesus lived, the political environment was worse than the political environment that we have right now. I'm just trying to give some perspective to us, because right now, the Antichrist spirit is not any worse than the Antichrist spirit of the days of the first Christ manifest on planet Earth. The first Christ manifest on planet Earth was Jesus Christ, so that we could be the body of Christ. What does that mean? The first human with God, with supernatural life in him on planet Earth, was Jesus Christ. It's not a name. That's a character, a nature, a way, a power, authority. That's a description of not only a Lord, but also the anointing that changes every circumstance and every situation. Not only a change of heart, of a want to, but also a change of substance, of reality. And he was the first man of that, so that we could be, in reality, the first woman of that, the eternal Eve, the body of Christ. I'm not looking for a day for that to happen. Yeah, I'm looking for a day of culmination, maturation to culmination. I'm looking for a day of greater things. But I can tell you this morning, whatever's true in heaven is true in heaven on earth. And whatever's true in heaven on earth is mega true in heaven beyond. And whatever's true in hell beyond this world is true in hell on this earth. And whatever's true in hell on this earth is true, mega true in hell beyond. And the ultimate hell is the absence of life. So we kind of get event focused. We tend to get event focused. Where are we going? Where are we going to end up? Are we going to get to heaven? See, I don't believe the good news. I'm changing in my thinking. I don't believe the good news is based on Genesis 3. I believe the good news is based on Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 3 was a decision to be smart, a decision to be disconnected, to be possibly independent of the supernatural one in a natural world, to get enough knowledge of good and enough knowledge of evil to try to cause good things to happen in a natural arena by natural means. Jesus came to reconnect us to Genesis 1 and 2, to God as our Father. That's what he came for. Now, he had to die for our sins to make that happen. But he didn't come to die for our sins. He came to get us reconnected to the supernatural one called life. He came to get us reconnected to our Father. Not so, he didn't come so that we'd be coasting, going through life, and then when we die, we'll go to heaven. I got news for you. The mercy of God's enough to do that. But it's the grace of God that transforms us. Help us, God, that this gets in our spirit and soul. Speak to me again, Holy Spirit, please. We are a testimony of sons and daughters of God. That's what Jesus came. He came as a son to restore sons and daughters of God. I am a son of God. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. God's your Father. God is what he is, but Father's who he is. And he wants us to be that way. Jesus was that way. He lived in a political environment that was worse than American political environment.
Goodness sake, he lived in the day of Caesar. Caesar's not a label. Caesar is a title declaring, I'm divinity, I'm God. There were 12 of those. And the sixth one, Nero, was the epitome of that whole system, which ended up being the one who onslaughted against the body of Christ. That was the imperial persecution against the body of Christ was implemented under a man named Nero, who was who would be like the president of the country. Worse than that, he declared himself to be deity, built a statue 120 feet tall of himself, released doves, was married to, after he killed his wife, his pregnant wife, after he kicked her to death, physically kicked her to death. Then he got married to guys twice, homosexuals, and publicly consummated, come on now, I don't think Biden's this bad. He publicly consummated his marriage to these men publicly in sexual intercourse as a homosexual. This is the onslaught against Christ in the earth. And then he launched a persecution against the church. Around AD 64, he launched a persecution where the rumor was that he burnt down a third of Rome because it was in poverty. But because the Christians were proclaiming a fire. Now, what fire were they proclaiming? They were proclaiming a fire that removes the things that can be removed so that what can't be removed remains. That's what they were proclaiming. They weren't proclaiming a fire of hell. They were proclaiming a fire of life that removes everything that can be. And when Nero heard that, he took it as an opportunity to use it against Christians. And so he put people on sticks and lit them on fire. It's where you get the term Roman candle on the 4th of July. He put people on sticks and he lit the streets with lights of burning Christians. He put people in the garden parties where he had his orgies, Christians on sticks in flames. It was illegal to be in a room like this, to gather in a house or at the river. It was illegal to have the word of God. It was illegal to preach Jesus in the days of Nero. Okay, but there's a supernatural father who was going to do supernatural things in that day. So the Antichrist spirit is not stronger than Christ. I'm going to tell you, no Antichrist spirit is stronger than Christ. Whatever is true in the foundation is true in the house. The first century was a first fruit of a supernatural people because they had a supernatural father, a first fruit. We don't understand harvest seasons in America, even though you live in Kansas and you got farmers. Maybe some of you farmers understand, but mostly we live for one crop. We live for wheat, or we live for corn, or we live for one crop. God doesn't live for one crop. He lives for every crop. So harvest is not at the end of the year. The celebration of harvest at the end of the year is a celebration that we've had harvest now for 7 months. We've had harvest every month for 7 months. We've had life. We've had life. We've had life. Now let's have a big celebration with all of this life that we have, because now we have seed for another season of life, and now we have bread to give this life in a season of rest. That's what harvest is about. So we think that harvest is, the great harvest is coming. We're in a great harvest. We've been in a great harvest for 2,000 years. Okay, so I don't believe it's time to focus on getting out of here. I believe it's time to focus on supernatural God. So I'm trying to paint a picture that the environment of the first century was worse than the environment of the present century. Okay, so I'm going to go here, okay? So even in the term, when the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God in Acts, when the first 120 said, we believe, we want everything, they got in that upper room and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus said would come. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter said, this is what Joel was talking about. And he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Whenever you see in Scripture oblique writing, text that is in oblique writing, italics, it means it's a quote from somewhere. So he said, this is what the prophet Joel said. And when you see that, you really should look at what did Joel say. And what did Joel say? Joel didn't say, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. He said, afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. In other words, after there's a last day and you enter into an eternal day, you're going to see the reality of a spirit-filled day. My last day was May 12, 1973. I believe there's coming a time when there'll be no more last days. If you want to measure it by that. If you're looking for an event, because whatever's true in the beginning is true in the fullness. So if you're looking for the last thing to come, I think we should be focusing on the increase of the day that's at hand. What is God doing right now? I'm not looking for the event. I'm looking for his presence right now coming into my life. Okay? So how can we live with supernatural expectancy of a supernatural God and supernatural outcomes in our lives? We have to know that we are in Christ and that Christ is in us. We got to know that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. We have to expect supernatural testimonies in our natural world. Remove in the world and put it in my natural world. In John 17, Jesus says, I didn't pray for the world. I did not pray for the world. I prayed, Father, for those that you gave me. And I didn't lose any of those except for the one that you said I would. And so I didn't lose what you gave me. I prayed for them. I didn't pray for the world. In the same way that you sent me, Father, I'm sending them. In what way? I'm not sending them to pray for the world. I'm sending them to pray for those that you give them. In the same way that I gave my life to those that you gave me for the sake of the whole world. And if every one of us would give our lives to give life to those that God gives to us, to be a supernatural influence of life to those that God puts in our world, in our path. See, Jesus gave his life to 12, but there were a whole lot of other people that bumped into him on that journey with those 12 that also got healed in miracles and transformed and changed. There's a lot of people who later on even came into the church and were influential. It's often a number of theologians believe that the rich young ruler who couldn't do what Jesus said when Jesus talked to him later on became, some believe, Barnabas or someone else that's mentioned in the who came and laid everything at the apostles' feet. It's possible. That was the tradition of the church. Some writings declare that. So Jesus had influence on others, but he gave his life to some. We have influence on many, but we have to give our lives to some to be a supernatural influence of life. Man, I was reminded this morning in worship of Jairus, the guy whose daughter was sick. I know I've preached on that here before, but I was reminded of him today. He was a teacher. He was a teacher. He gave his whole life to teaching. What's good? What's not? What's right? What's wrong? What's good? He wouldn't have put it in terms of life. In his understanding, I want to do what God wants. And he prided himself in being a teacher. And then one day, the light got real because his 12-year-old little girl was dying. And now it didn't matter if he was a teacher anymore because teaching wasn't important. Dad got a revelation. My little girl is dying. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know what to do anymore. I need a miracle. I was reminded of that this morning in worship. And I'm thinking, God, I don't need to know what to do. I need a miracle. I need you. I need to be that desperate that in my world, I realize that my little girl is in Jairus' case, she wasn't just dying, she was dead. And when Jesus went to see her, he didn't go in faith. I believe he went in love. Faith works through love. There was faith. Faith comes by hearing, yes. But he went in a father's love and he said, little girl, Talitha Kumi, he used her daddy's voice and he said, rise. He told her, dad, don't be afraid anymore. Only believe, which is what a parent does. Don't be afraid anymore, only believe. See, so I'm reminded of that this morning to say, if I'm going to be a supernatural guy with a supernatural expectation, it's got to be more about desperate for him than it does knowing what to do. Or proving I know what to do. Okay? So we've all got it. We're going to leave this place not too long from now. We're going to go out into this community this week. And what are our expectations? Are our expectations determined by the political environment around us? Are our expectations determined by the social media? Are our expectations determined by what the world thinks? Paul said this in Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I'm begging you, come on. I'm appealing to you guys by the mercies of God. Come on. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. It's your reasonable service. Some translations say it's your spiritual worship. What's he saying? He says, come on, just present your bodies to him. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a metamorphosis, a renewing of your mind, that you might prove the acceptable, the good and perfect will of God. Let's say that in English, although that was in the English language, that was religiousese, so let me talk to us about that. What does that mean? It means whatever you give your life to determines how you think. And how you think determines what you give your life to. See, I am not here because I'm 48 years old in Christ and I finally have my thinking right. I'm here because I'm 48 years old in Christ, and the older I get in Christ, the more I realize I need my thinking changed. I need my thinking changed. I'm in a constant metamorphosis. Because you see, if I think like the world, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to create my world like the world. But if I think like my Father, then my world has a shot at becoming a testimony of my Father's world. If I realize that if I present my body, my body is not just my physical, but all of my being. See, it's not on Sunday. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I was with in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. I was in New Mexico in April, my first trip out since COVID in this year. And down in New Mexico, was blessed to be there. First time I'd been there in a year and a half. And we had a gathering at one of the guys' house, and the church, City Life Church in New Mexico, they've got a real revelation on guys and meat and barbecues and house gatherings. You know, everybody's got a man cave at their house, and man, they know how to cook. If you want to cook meat, they all hunt and they all cook meat. I like that place. It's a wonderful place to go, but I love even more the people. And we had a gathering on Friday night when I got there. I was scheduled to speak on Saturday at church and Sunday at church. But Friday night, we got together at one of the guys' man cave, and we were smoking some meat in a big smoker. And there was a guy who came who was retired. He was a retired individual from the police department, the statewide police, and he also had been in government. He was a retired guy. And he joined us on the Friday night at our men's gathering. And in the presence of just fellowshipping, eating, and just connecting with one another in seemingly a natural arena, the presence of God showed up. And he began to tear up a bit. And he said, I don't like church, but I really like this. And I looked at him and said, well, this is church. Because in my Father's house, in our Father's house, there's many rooms. And what you just said is you don't like that room, but you like this room. See, we tend to think we got to get everybody in the same room. And then we ostracize everybody from the same house. And we try to shove them into one room. Now, I love this room. I want this room to be filled. I want the Sunday expression to become whatever God wants it to become. I want your house to become whatever God wants your house to become. I want everybody's house. I want your workplace. Okay, if you're in your workplace, there's hope for your workplace. Why? Because you have a supernatural Father, and supernatural things can happen there. Supernatural things. Because you got a creator who's a dad, not a created dad. You have a creator dad. And you're a son or a daughter connected to a creator who does his best work in formless void and dark circumstances. So there's hope in every formless void and dark circumstance that you walk into. So this guy was touched, and he wanted to come on Sunday. So you speaking on Sunday? I said, Jesus, I'm canceling everything. I'm coming Sunday. He came Sunday, and he was blessed even in that room. And then we had another one of those meet gathering room things on Sunday night. And he showed up there. Now, I'm only sharing that testimony to tell you this. Church is not Sunday. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And some won't come to this room, but they'll come to your room. And where is your room? Where's my room? My room is wherever I am. Your room is wherever you are. But whatever I present my body to, whatever I present my life to, is going to determine what happens in the rooms of my house. So I'm begging you, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, we presented our bodies so much to religion, we forgot to present our bodies to God. And you know, I found out that God even likes religious rooms, because he shows up there too. So, a spirit-empowered life. Now, God is he's building a living church. He's building a living body that has power over the realm of the dead. There's a story in Matthew 16, you know, where Jesus said, "Who do the people say I am?" And his disciples said, "Well, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter gets a moment, and he gets a revelation from God in his heart. He says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Oh, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, one who bends like a reed as a son of the dove. Blessed are you, one who bends like a reed to hear Holy Spirit, the dove. For flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father said that to you. And I tell you the truth, you are Peter, you're Petros, little rock. But on this Petra, on this huge rock," that's the Greek word, "you're a little rock, but on this huge rock, I will build my church, my ecclesia, my influencing gate of heaven to your world. And the gates of Hades, the gates of the realm of the dead, will not prevail against it." See, we're in this little place that we created, a safe place where we can talk about God. And so there's not a lot of antichrist stuff going on in here. Now you're going to go out in your world and you're going to be faced with antichrist stuff. So the question is, are you going to be Christ? Or are you going to be afraid of Antichrist? Because it's impossible for Christ to be afraid of Antichrist. It's impossible for life to be afraid of death, because life is more powerful than death. It's impossible for light to be afraid of darkness, because light is more powerful than darkness. It's impossible for love to be afraid of hate, because love is more powerful than hate. So what are we a house of? What are we? Are we presenting our bodies in this place of being life? And so like Peter, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Well, you're a little rock, but on this huge rock, I'm going to build my ecclesia, my influencing gate of heaven and the realm of the dead, the influence, the gates of Hades, the gates of the realm of the dead will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." More accurately in the Greek tense, whatever you loose on earth, because it's already been determined to be loosed, it will be loosed from heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, because it's already been determined to be bound, will be bound on earth. Because you're an influencing place of life. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this. He says, "You shall receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." Now, he didn't, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. He didn't say, "You'll be witnesses for me." He said, "You'll be witnesses to me." The word witness there is where we get the word martyr. The root word in the Greek is martyr. In other words, there'll be enough evidence on you that you'll be accused of being me. You'll be witnesses to me. When you walk into your world and you walk into where you work and you walk into where you live, there'll be enough of me coming off of you that they'll accuse me of being in the room. And you'll have to explain it. When I worked for Atlantic Richfield, before I went into full-time ministry, I went through 3 years of absolute radically being wrecked by God. And spent a lot of time just in the presence of God while doing my work. And then I got to the point, I'd be in the break room. I was an operations tech at a refinery, and I'm in the break room. And people would walk through the door, and they walk through the door, and they start weeping and telling me their stuff. I had people come to me. One of my fellow workers, his son got in trouble, and he wanted to know if I could pray for his son and deliver him, help him be free from demons. Now, I didn't preach to him. I just was a guy. I did my job, but I had the presence of God in me. Something was coming off of me that they knew, that they knew was life. Okay? That should be our way of life. Not that we're different than people in the world, but we look different because there's light coming. We look like the same kind of people, but light's coming off of us instead of we're caught up in the political environment or we're caught up in what is going on in the natural. We're caught up in the supernatural Father so that in our natural world, we don't get moved by natural circumstances. We move them. We lay hands on the sick, and they do recover. We cast out devils, and it doesn't need to be a religious scene. We just tell them to go. We take up serpents. In other words, deceiving things can't deceive us. The word take up there is in the Greek is actually like to lift the anchor and tell it to set sail. In other words, things that are hooked in people's lives, we have the ability to get it unhooked, and it has to leave. It's all good news. So now I'm about to get to the crux of what I really want to say. Because God has sent us this, his presence into our lives. And so what is the difference between us and natural people? How can we have supernatural expectations of a supernatural God in a natural world? How can we live in our political environment of our day? How can we live in it? We say, well, you know, sin is getting darker. Let me tell you why sin gets darker, because light gets brighter. Sin is sin. Okay? Is there more, you know, in the first century, 0.25% believed in Jesus? 0.25% of the population in the first century. You know, over 30% of the planet believes in him in some measure. Maybe not the measure according to your standard, but a measure of some kind. I believe that if you believe in him in a measure, he's a really merciful God. It might not invade your world with heaven, but it might be enough to get you into heaven when you die. But God didn't come so that you would get to heaven when you die. He came so that heaven would get in you now, so that you'd have eternal life. What is eternal life? It's to know God the Father and to know Jesus Christ the Son. That's eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin when you die. See, I'm going to live my life until I die, and then I get eternal life. No, I got eternal life right now. That's how come when I die, it ain't a problem, because I got eternal life.
Right.
Eternal life is not, I live my life, and then he gets my life after I'm gone. No, my life is his life. His life is my life. And my life is eternal life. Right. I used to have temporary life, but my last day was May 12, 1973, and I entered into a place where now I have eternal life. So I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of a last. I got that over with. The second death has no power over me. Is there a second death? But you know what? I have a first resurrection, which guarantees the full resurrection of my life. I've already passed from death to life. I was in darkness, but I got translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Yes.
Come on, I'm a child of the day and not the night. It's not a surprise what goes on in the world for me. It's not even a surprise when God walks into the room, because I live in the room where God walks. I should have supernatural expectations of a supernatural God. I'm declaring that Christ Life Ministries, and Jerry, what's the name that you got on yours now? What is it? What do you call it?
Christ-centered,
Christ-life, that's all good. Christ-life, Christ-centered. I declare that every testimony of Christ expands. I declare that supernatural things are going to happen. I speak to the north, angels go, you serve the gate of heaven, ascend, descend. Angels go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. not just for this little building, but for every house, every place, every workplace, every member of this house that's here today, that's not here today, everybody that's in our heart. I am believing for Michelle and Shane's full testimony in that house. In Jesus' name. That life, a supernatural expectation, because we got a supernatural God. He does his best work when it's formless, void, and dark. He's the best. You know, I've told you before, the devil doesn't cause the earth to shake. The only thing that can cause the earth to shake is the unshakable one. When the real rock walks into the room, all the other rocks shake. The mountain is raising, it's growing, it's not getting smaller. There's no end to the increase of his government or peace. From the time a child was born, a son was given. It's like leaven that fills the whole loaf. It's like a little mustard seed that becomes a herb, like a tree. What the birds could eat becomes something now that influences the atmosphere where they live. It's the stone that was the likeness and image of the Father, the stature of Christ, that struck that old statue of the copy of self. And it crumbled it from its feet, its legs, its waist, its chest, its arms, its head. It crumbled it. And it becomes a mountain and fills the whole earth. That's what's happening. I mean, I prophesy over this church right now. Apostolically, I declare that there's no end to the increase of his government or his peace. I break it out of the boundaries of what happens in one room. I declare 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, a creative God's going to give you creative ideas to express a supernatural expression. I declare that young and old are going to break out in places that you don't expect. I declare that as you present your bodies to him, your mind is going to be renewed. You're going to see things you're not seeing right now. I declare that this year is not just a breakthrough year. This is a breakout year of your Father's grace. I declare that there's going to be testimonies of cancers healed, tumors dissolved, brains renewed. I declare that the goodness of God is going to break out. Angels ascend, descend. Angels ascend, descend. Bring what's necessary for a time called now in Jesus' name. So what's the difference between us and the world? In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said this. I will pray the Father. He's talking to his friends. He said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, my 12 disciples, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now he's speaking this to his guys that God gave him for the sake of all of us that know him now. For the sake of all people that they might come and know him. And so he's saying, I'm with you right now. He's talking to, he's a new covenant guy in an old covenant circumstance. Okay, let me tell you this. You are new covenant people in an old covenant circumstance. What's an old covenant circumstance? An old covenant circumstance is people who live by the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. Okay? You're not going to change the world by changing a natural government. You're going to change the world by changing a human heart. You have to transform human beings to change your world. Now, good news is more you get changed, the more you do things in the natural that are inspired by supernatural realities. Okay, now, he says to them, I'm with you right now. So he's a new covenant guy. He's the only new covenant human being on planet Earth, by the way. You see, the New Testament doesn't begin in Matthew. You got this page in front of Matthew that says New Testament. It's not true. It's a very unique thing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it's a record of one new covenant human being among all old covenant people. And it isn't until Acts chapter 2 that there's a whole group of new covenant people that show up that begin to walk like Jesus walked. And it starts with 120 that quickly become several thousand. That becomes thousands of thousands. That walk with the proof that Christ is stronger than any antichrist. And they live in a generation of opposition and demonstrate a supernatural father. Which means whatever happened in the first happens from then on. Christ always wins. Life always wins. Now, he says, I'm with you. I'm a new covenant guy. I'm with you, but it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm not only going to be with you in the form of another helper, I'm going to be in you in the form of that helper. Okay, then in John 20, after Jesus dies, he comes to his disciples and he demonstrates, he implements God in them. They were hiding in a room for fear because Jesus had been crucified. So verse 19 of John 20, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Oh, come on. He stands in their midst. You know, that's a new covenant truth. He stands in your midst. You woke up this morning, he was standing in the midst of you. You came to church, he was standing in the midst of you before you got here. When you got here, he's still standing in the midst of you. Now he's standing in the midst of us. You go to work tomorrow, he's standing in the midst of your life. He's standing in the midst of your life, and he's not saying, peace, man. He's demonstrating there's no gap between you and God. So he says, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Oh, Jesus, would you show us your hands and your side? Hebrews 4:12 says, every day we boldly come to the throne of grace, where we receive mercy, we find grace. Mercy is his hands inside. Now, don't ever let me not see the tattoos that you have on your body, which are, you love me. He says, oh, you want to know how much I love you? Put your fingers there. Put your finger there. That's yours. I took that for you. I wear it proudly. It's a mark of my love for you. God, I saw that 48 years ago. I saw it again today. I'm seeing it again right now. How much you love me. I want to be somebody who never stops seeing your love for me. If I can see your tattoo, I can't expect those people in my world. I can't expect those people that got elected or didn't get elected. I can't expect those people to see that, because they're not looking to see it. And I don't need them to look to see it for my world to be changed. I need to look and see it. So I need to see your hands and your side. And then he did something. Look what he did. He says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. See, they were glad when they saw it was him. He's the one who died for them. The only way you can know he died for you is if you can see him alive in your life right now with the marks of your sin. Mercy. So Jesus said to them, peace to you, and as the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you think anything happened in that moment? I'm absolutely positive. Holy Spirit came in them. It was like the first Eve that was formed from the rib of Adam. It was like the first Adam that was formed from the dust of the earth. The breath of God came in. So I believe the boys were born again right here. And the promise that Jesus said, I'll not only be with you, I'm making a way for me to be in you. I'm making a way for the helper to be in you. And he breathed on them, so receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said an amazing thing, verse 23, I got to make a point of it. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. I want you to understand that when you forgive people their sins, it sets you free. And when you don't forgive people their sins, it puts you in prison. So when he said, if you forgive people their sins are forgiven. But if you don't, their sins are retained. He's not talking about how it affects them. He's talking about how it affects you. It does affect them, because the more we forgive others, the more we create an atmosphere where they can receive the forgiveness too. It isn't a matter of law judgment. It's a matter of grace revelation. Okay, so here he comes and he breathes on them. The Holy Spirit comes in them. But then in Luke 24, which is right after that, this is what he says. Behold, he says, I'm going to go now. I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, until you're clothed with power from on high. So I'm going to present to you that to be people with supernatural expectations, three things have to be a reality. You see this helper, God, the supernatural one, the love of God, has to be in you, upon you, and with you. He says, I'm going to be with you like I'm with you now. But I'm also going to be in you, and it's important that I'm not only in you, but I'm also upon you. Now, how does he come upon you? It seems like it comes out of heaven, but it comes out of heaven's gate. And where's heaven's gate? Inside of you. See, when the one who's inside of you fills you up so much that he overflows and submerges you completely, you become an expression of him outwardly that others can see. But then he's also with you. You know, I'm going to give you three names for this. I use these three names all the time. I'm going to give them to you in religious ease first, and then I'm going to translate. He gives you Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. He gives you righteousness, peace, and joy. He gives you the ability to always have God in you. God's my God. God's my God. Not just on Sunday, but when you leave here and you wake up tomorrow, man, your expectation of the day starts with, well, God's my God. He's in me. I'm righteousness in the Holy Spirit. God's my God. It's a feast. You know, the Israelites never could do a feast. They did a solemn act, a ceremony, but they never did a feast. And God never wanted a once a year, three time a year feast. He wanted a 7-day week, 24-hour day reality of righteousness in the Holy Spirit. God's in me. God's in me. I got a right relationship with God. God's in me. I'm standing here today because God's in me. A number of you know me, and some of you know me when I was not as small as I am now. You know, that's part of God is in me. I've shared the testimony before. I was teaching my students in Christ Life training, and I had my hands on me. I said, I do this a lot lately because I want to remind myself where God is. I said, you can do this if you want, but I'm just going to do this while I teach. And while I did that, in an hour of teaching, I had a cyst dissolve, a rash vanish, hemorrhoids disappear, and all of that's really good news. I mean, instantly, in an hour, because I recognize that the supernatural one lives in me. And I didn't say, I'm leaving for these things to be healed. I gave him liberty. You do whatever you want to do. You know, in that same class, we had a lady who was in her 80s, who had a heart attack. We called her kids. We said, we don't know if she's going to make it home. I'm sorry, she's at our supernatural school. She got healed. And as near as I know, she's still going. She's in her 90s now. Last I heard, she was doing just fine with no heart problems. So, you know, now, ultimately, at some point, she's going to transition to glory. So I don't want her heart to get healed again and again and again and again. Sooner or later, I think she'd like to transition to more. But still, handfuls of problems along the way are really good. And you don't want to check out any sooner than you need to check out. Because there's still a lot more life to bring into your world. Okay, but in that same time, what happened? A supernatural God needed to come to Ted Hansen a little bit more. You know why? Because Ted Hansen also was doing some things in life that weren't too good as far as habits. I'm not talking about drunkenness or smoking or anything like that. I'm talking about I just wasn't taking care of myself well. And so the next day my back hurt, and I thought, well, what is this? Three supernatural miracles instantly, now my back hurts. This isn't right. And I had an annual checkup. I went for the annual checkup. And you know what the annual checkup showed? First off, my back had no problem other than I was sitting in a bad chair. So the first thing I needed to do was get a good chair. I discovered that. The second thing is my triglycerides were 379. That ain't good. Okay? And the doctor prescribed me medicine, and that ticked me off, which was good. You know why? It took me to the supernatural one. And this is what I said to the supernatural one. I said, I'm really terrible at doing what I'm told, so you're going to have to change my desire. I need you to be Lord of my heart. What do I do to get my triglycerides down? And he showed me what to eat. I changed what to eat. I lost 46 pounds. I haven't found them. I'm not looking for them, but I lost them. I've held them off for several years now. A lot of you know. Okay? But I changed my exercise. I changed the kind of things I eat. I don't eat the same stuff I used to eat. But I eat different stuff. Now, it's not a diet. It's a way of life. It's a desire. It's not hard. It's easy. I don't even think about it anymore. I can eat anything. But I also know not everything's good. So I don't eat everything. I don't eat everything. Now, I'm not telling you that to change what you're eating. I'm just telling you a supernatural God will change your natural world. Okay, even to the point of, at that point, this is my 66th year, and so that wasn't, I don't remember how long ago that was. It was a bit ago. I'd say it was in the last 10 years. Less than that. Last 5-6 years. So in the last 5-6 years, that would have made me, 60. At 60, I never liked tomatoes my entire life. For the last 6 years, I eat tomatoes every day. I love them. Why? Because I disciplined myself to eat tomatoes? No, all of a sudden, I got taste buds that like tomatoes. They must be good for me. I'm eating tomatoes every day, pretty much. See, why? My supernatural father changed my desire. My triglycerides are not 370. They went down from 379 to 79. That's pretty good. So, anyway, I'm going to leave you with this. We have to be humans who have the Spirit of God in us, also upon us. See, the one who's in us has to spill out of us, which is going to become supernatural. The fruit of the Spirit, the charisma of the Spirit, something supernatural coming off of us. Because what is in us is also spilling out of us, and we're submerged in it. We're clothed in Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory, but when Christ gets upon me, it's the testimony of that glory. It's like in him I live, but in him I also move. It's like his life comes in me, but I'm also an expression of that life. You see, he's the word, but I am the voice. My lifestyle is the voice. My laying hands on the sick is his voice. It says these signs will follow those who believe. I don't believe those signs come to us. I believe they're locked up inside of us, but you got to let them come out. Even speaking with new tongues. Man, you need a few new tongues because the world's tongues will get you depressed. So you need a few things you can't understand to free you from what you see, the problem is we know too much. We need a gift of not knowing enough, as much to help us not be distracted by too much. It's absolutely true. But the biggest problems is we think with our wrong brains. We think with our natural brains, and we don't let the mind of Christ flood our thoughts. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about being active, activating Christ in us. Being clothed in Christ. Jesus was a human being who had Christ in him, but he also had Christ upon him. But then, the third thing is this thing of joy in the Holy Spirit, connected to the purpose of Father God, that he's with us in all things. So I want to be a supernatural, I want to have supernatural expectations of a supernatural God in my natural world. How about you? So here's my commitment. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. I'm going to say, okay, I'm not here for Sundays. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm a man. I'm a son of God. And it's in every aspect of my life as a husband, as a dad, as a grandpa, as someone who works in the neighborhood. It even affects how I do things naturally. Honestly, believe it affects how we do things, even that we would be the people that people would want to hire. I had a testimony. I helped my son in November. His wife ended up in the hospital with surgery, so I had to go work at his house, remodel his house so they could finance it. For a month I worked. At the end of the month,
The guy across the street, the contractor, he came over to my son. He said, "Your dad, does he need a job? Because if he needs a job, I'll hire him in a minute. He's a flipping animal. I'll hire him." So, you know what? My 66 year old, he's go get a job. Now, I'm not saying you get a job, do what you're doing. I'm just saying life should be coming off of you in a miserable situation. Life should be coming off of you in a difficult circumstance. Life should be coming off of you. People should want to be around you. Okay, we're not in the world to become like the world. We're in the world to be light. We're in the world to be salt. We're in the world to draw them into a relationship with God, to invite them to this place. So I'm going to have to be a person with Christ in me. But then I'm also going to have to be a person with Christ on me. No one's going to get healed in your world unless you use your hands in your world. Okay, I got news for you. You can go and look for Pastor Derek's hands or Talita's hands, but they're not in your world totally. They're in part of your world. But you go places they don't go, don't you? So the only way the sick in your world are going to get healed is if you lay hands on them. Because you can say that and you won't lay hands on them, therefore the sick will not get healed. Okay? You'll speak with new tongues. That means you speak. You cast out devils. That means you cast out devils. Now, I don't care how you do that. You do it the way you do it, but Christ in you is enough for supernatural things to start spilling over out of your life. But then also understand that God's not only in you, and he's not only upon you, he's also with you. He partners with you in all things. Come and let us think. He pitches his tent, you pitch your tent, and he realizes that your world is his world. His world is your world. And he expands it. So I'm going to leave you with this, to say that in our world, there is no natural circumstance that's worse than any circumstance in any segment of the natural world that is, that was, or ever will be. So because of that, in our world, with Christ in us, Christ upon us, and Christ with us in all things, there's no natural circumstance that cannot be transformed supernaturally. We can expect supernatural things to happen in Wichita. We can expect supernatural things to happen in our families. We can expect supernatural things to happen in America. We can expect supernatural things of life. I'm not just talking about phenomenal. I'm talking about the Father God bringing the love and life of the family. Yeah? So I'm releasing that today. I declare that for me. I declare that for you. I'm reminding myself that I'm a person with God in me, God on me, and God with me. That I'm not a natural person like the world. That doesn't make me better than the world. That makes me an open door to invite others to also become that. I can't do that for them. But I can present my body. Who I present my body to is what my body's going to look like. So God, help us. Help us be everyday people in an everyday world with extraordinary supernatural realities that affect our world. The love of God in supernatural ways. That no weapon formed against us can prosper because we are weapons of life. Cause us to be sons and daughters that are arrows in your quiver that can be put in the covenant promise of your spirit, that can meet every enemy in the gate and influence the world with your purpose and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.